So coming up now, it's the December 11th, 2022 edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, and this is going to be essentially, almost entirely, with the exception of this introduction, a replay of the December 16th, 2016 Bathrop Spears broadcast. It was actually broadcasted then. This, of course, is being netcast and prepared in my room, and it's not got the benefit of community input in a direct way. But nonetheless, I think it's interesting to look back on this, and I'm also in a situation where I've got time crunches that, and also electrical failures that have made it problematic to actually try to get out an original show. And so rather than pad it, I'm going to completely pad it with this this old show. But I think you'll find it interesting. What you're going to be hearing is largely, well, a variety of things. But the main focal point that I would point to would be the Santa Cruz Police Department's killing of Sean Arlt and the Santa Cruz County deputies murdering, or slaying, if you want to be charitable, of Luke Smith that happened that year. And their failure to release all the video and audio stuff that would have given the public more of an understanding of what went wrong in those killings. And that really still hasn't been corrected. Some of the audio and video was released, but not all of it. And attempts to get both the political establishment and even the liberal political establishment, the progressives, to press for that. Some of them did. Steve Argue was one of the main figures in trying to do that, as was I. But again, we are sort of the outsiders in this, and the establishment really didn't want to deal with it. And instead, of course, you have some incidental reforms that have happened at the legislative, state legislative level, because of, I think, the pressures of mass public anger over ongoing police abuse nationally and in California that continues, particularly against black folks and brown folks, and not even us honkies get shafted, particularly if we're poor. But you haven't seen the real defunding of police. You haven't seen the refunding of other services, only token efforts in Santa Cruz. It's been pathetic to nil. You see this collusion. You see the reelected city council member, Justin Cummings, kneeling down with, actually, I guess he became supervisor, with the former police chief, Andy Mills. And it took people on the streets who actually went to direct action. And I think that resulted in some reforms at the legislative level and also a certain amount of timidity at the local level. But of course, because we've been under and are still under this COVID, quote, emergency, unquote, where the city manager is given extreme powers and a lot of the agenda is left to him actually to either implement or even set, although I can't speak for the actual behind-the-scenes realities of that. I don't have the documentation that the city manager is the secret manipulator. But he certainly is the most powerful and always has been the most powerful figure in the city as far as action goes. And regarding police reform, it's still hard to get the kinds of records we want. And as activists, it's also hard to find the motivation and support to review those records and then publish the results so that the public can sound off in an intelligent way as to what's happening, not just make a two-minute squeak at the city council. So you see this impacting homeless people particularly. So, for instance, the bulldozing of the Benchlands, San Lorenzo encampment, the survival encampment, that actually began this winter, for instance. We have no winter shelter walk-in winter shelter. You have only lots of promises of future stuff, programs, if you can get into the programs, which can sometimes involve jumping through various hoops, usually does, actually, and you can be easily discarded from those programs. People have complained they're treated like cattle, often, and then particularly in the one that was set up on the hill in the De La Vega area, the Armory program and the Overlook program, to facilitate the destruction of the Benchlands campground. It's regarded as, just by some, as a concentration camp. And the city knew that the majority of people in the encampment were not going to accept those kinds of lodgings. They would rather hide out than do that. And that is, in fact, what has happened. And so the $1 million that was taken out of homeless poverty pimp building projects that wasn't really going to homeless services anyway, was then sent to the demolition of the Benchlands. At least, I think it's three-quarters of it, maybe half of it was for enforcement. And that has always been the go-to solution. And the police department has, the great majority of citations issued are to homeless people for non-existent crimes that are essentially crimes of appearance, crimes of why aren't they disappearing where they should be appearing. And it reflects a really cruel and unjust mentality that can outrage even the average citizen once they hear about it and understand it, although often we don't know what to do to change it. I've been, of course, exercising my voice about it for years, but we still have a massive, probably worse than ever, sleeping ban, this time without the word sleep, that simply provides huge amounts of discretion to the police. That, although I have not yet heard of specific citations, well, actually I have, but I haven't seen the documentation of those citations under the new 6.36 camping ban law, which is supposed to not go into effect until there's adequate storage, but only for 150 people. And, of course, the homeless population is 7, 8, 9, 10 times that. This, of course, is the doing of a reactionary city council, which I frequently term the shitty council. The demolition of the campground so that there can be, I don't know, people can play frisbee in the grass and hold taco for pay, lease it to groups that do things like that, is really sickening, although, you know, as a person who's distanced from it, and I think as most people in the community are, we can go tisk tisk and shake our heads and say that just isn't right. And it's something that, of course, is still this open sore on the ethical body of the Santa Cruz community. But it's not so open because it's not being talked about. And you have a city council that's trying to establish a narrative or this is the new normal. And that's what the one thing that we do at HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, every week is I try to challenge the narrative with this lengthy, often burdensome agenda that I impose on my poor people who come and hang out with me at the Sub Rosa. It happens 11 to 1, actually starting at 10:45 if we can, rarely, but occasionally. Come on down. It's next to the bike church. And there's also the Union of the Homeless meeting again on Friday at 5 o'clock at the Resource Center for Nonviolence in the side room. They haven't met for months. They didn't use the material that they had when they got it, and they're still talking about procedures that to use instead of actually taking specific action. But there could be motions to do that if enough people show up. And also, essentially, I think they need to change the leadership, because the leadership, while good at what it does in its own limited way, or very, very different way, I would say, Keith McHenry heads Food Not Bombs, or is a main organizer there, and he provides vital services to the community. Alicia Kuhl has got two jobs, a family to take care of, and has been instrumental in helping with in creating several lawsuits defending the rights of homeless people both at Ross Camp and San Lorenzo, but not recently. And that's the problem. A lot of sense, I think, of betrayal has been felt by both some activists and people in the homeless community about how the Benchlands was blundered. The whole Benchland, there was meetings held about things to be done, and then nothing was done. Activists who showed up, like myself, only stayed for a short time. Union of the Homeless activists didn't show up much at all. They occasionally, I mean, some people really were very strong. People like Kevin, hats off to you, Kevin, who was in there all day working with folks. And a number of UC students were. But there was the organizing that the union promised didn't happen to defend the campground. And there are lots of excuses and, to some extent, reasons, but it wasn't good. And we'll see. If you want to show up at either of these meetings, you might find them interesting, helpful. But again, it's the action that happens between, before, and after the meetings, and not the rhetoric or the promises that happen at the meetings. It's like with politicians. I mean, people have lots of good intentions, but they tend to fade away into token actions, or other priorities have become more important. And it's not because the people are lying. I don't think they're lying. I think they're well-intended. We're well-intended. I'm well-intended. But it's important to assess what the actual progress or lack of progress has been. Anyway, what's happening with this 2016 flashback that you're about to hear, it has, kind of to run through some of the points that I noted, we have Crow, who's a homeless guy who's been around here for decades. I think he's now in Watsonville, or I'm not sure even if he's still in town, but 7 years ago, 6 years ago, he was. This, again, the focus is on the Luke Smith death. I think he's an in-studio guest. You hear a rally to demanding police reform with people like Pat Colby and, again, Steve Argue. You have Peter Marin, the Santa Barbara activist, weighing in on issues down there, the attempt to criminalize RVs that was being fought by the by a kind of a combine of lawyers that I'm not sure how active they are now. I think you heard from Russell Brown, the lawyer, recently on one of my shows from Santa Barbara. Peter has sort of stepped out of the scene. He's in his 80s. He's primarily a poet. I don't know if he's primarily a poet. I know him for his activism, and I also know that he's writes a shitload of poetry. And there are guests in the studio. Brian Schulman, who has his own, had his own show then. I think Community TV is changed. I don't know if he has a show on K-Squid. Perhaps he does. You have the Dead On and Dead, David Silva, who is a longtime fighter against the sleeping ban, weighing in. And, of course, the inevitable Bob LaMonica, who showed up and gave his own particular, I would call it, a conservative slant to things. And more. But listen in, listen to as much of it as you find educational. And again, remember, the phone numbers are questionable, though it's not as unlikely you'll actually get someone on the other end as it was in earlier shows, because it's only been 6 years. 423-4833 is the Huff line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, me. And you can get a hold of me to ask questions. You can get a hold of me to give reports if you have stuff to talk about. I'm still trying to do a project that organizes people who are previously, I call them Benchlands refugees, who were there before, and where they've gone to, staying in touch with them by whatever phone or email we can, or maybe even visiting them to, and again, Huff is primarily, for me, not a social service agency, but a civil rights, or at least a chitter-chatter about civil rights agency, and maybe take some action to demand it and illustrate that what's really going on with the police and homeless folks, so that the community can be inspired to take further action, or others in the community can do that. So learn from the show if you can. Get inspired by what you hear. Don't get too depressed. This was one of the last years of the... They'd cut off the food a year before at the Housing Matters, as they used to call this group that gets a shitload of money from different agencies or for different charities, and also from, I think, the city and the county, in order to warehouse homeless people, in order to give the illusion of doing something for them and sending them into housing that doesn't exist. And try to get some straight, if you get straight figures out of them, I'd like to see them. I've been trying to do that from Phil Kramer for years, although I haven't tried recently. He's the unelected, endless, appointed head of the 150 Coral Street group. So let's just take it from there. And on top, as an additional bonus or a penalty or punishment, you get to hear the whole theme song that I only play very parts of now when I begin the show. So we will get into that and enjoy. But I must add, do something. Learn. Take action when you see abuses happening. Document them. Give me a call. Let me know they're happening. Note when and where they happen. Or just stand up and watch. If you're seen visibly watching, this may deter police abuse and also embolden homeless folks whose rights are being trampled upon to say, no thanks. Leave me alone until you actually have a real shelter place that isn't something that looks to me like a concentration camp. And real promises of housing instead of false promises in order to essentially get me out of sight or get me out of town.